Christian Radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning again. Another Tuesday. Seems like we have one each week. Isn't that nice? And today is the 19th of August of the year 2025. This is A Biblical Response. And our mission is to take a look at what's going on that often comes to us in the news through the lens of the Word of God, and that will continue to be our calling today. Before we get into a particular content, I want to introduce my co-hosts, who wonderful spiritual giants, all of them. Okay, it's true, actually, but none of them think themselves that way.
No.
Nobody thinks that way, but that's my perception, and I'm glad to share the studio with them. Keith Masters, good morning, bro.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Man, I'm great. You know, that donut really healed.
Wait.
Donuts are healing.
Last week, somebody told me they called you Donut Guy, so, you know.
Well.
Somebody who was listening to the program.
It's a great ministry, brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Bringing gifts. David, if I could. Mm. My wife is driving over to Lakeland right now. Her mom was rushed to the hospital this morning.
Oh,
so
wow.
if the listeners could just say a quick prayer for her. Her mother's name is Nancy.
Just lead us in a prayer for her now, okay? Would you?
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we just we lift Nancy up to you, Father God, and we pray for her healing, Lord. We pray for her to be made whole, Lord. And we pray for peace as Deanna drives to Lakeland, Father God.
Lord, yes,
may your
Lord.
Peace surround her and keep her safe on the road. And the peace for Nancy, Lord, knowing that your presence is available.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm glad we can lift her up in prayer. Stephanie Jacobson?
That's me.
Hey, that's you. That's
that
you way
me.
Down the other end of the... You're lost in the mist here in this large room.
I don't know if that's a question or a
just saying good morning.
Good morning, you all.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me be on the air.
Oh,
it's my
man.
Pleasure, my honor.
It's all God's grace.
It is.
And
certainly.
Last but certainly never least is Ann Limhoko.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will
rejoice.
Amen.
We're rejoicing in today.
It wasn't too long ago that the Lord allowed some life-giving rain to fall upon us here.
Yes.
Didn't last long, but it was quite deluges. That's not a word, probably, but I'm going
to
throw it out
there.
We
have to look that one up, David.
Anyway, so as you know, we look at things going on in the world around us through the lens of the Bible. And today, the news item that we're going to be keying off on in Delray Beach, which is also the home of Keith Masters.
Yes, it is.
There's some flap going on about a gay pride themed crosswalk in Delray, and there were others in other Florida towns that the DOT has issued a ruling that they have to be painted over because the colors are distracting, which has, of course, raised the ire of the LGBTQ++ community and
right.
those that support them. And
that's a state law that they passed to clean all of those
exactly
communities
right.
up in the towns.
And Keith, I'm going to, in a minute, turn this over to Keith, who's going to take us a little more deeply into that, but also... because the whole thing we were talking yesterday in our planning for this program, what are we going to address and how are we going to address it? And whenever we get to issues of ungodly lifestyles, which are pretty much thrust into our consciousness pretty much every day, is how do we as Christians, how are we supposed to deal with that? And the Bible is clear that, you know, we're speaking the truth in love. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, 15, something like that.
Yes.
That always, all the time, when God's people are called to address those things that other Chris, keep in mind that we're going to hear speak God's truth and love too, because we're not perfect either. But
amen.
When it comes to these hot button issues in our culture, and you know, there is a way that the scriptures give us, God reveals to us how we're to address those people and their lifestyles and the things that, go on in their communities. And really, the bottom line is speaking the truth in love. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Keith, who's going to take us a deeper dive into that whole issue.
And David gave you a preview, because everything that I'm saying is in love, even though everybody tells me to tone it down.
But we tell you that in love.
We tell you that in love. We don't tell you in.
That's all right. My wife does the same thing, so
that's how the Lord made you.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
passionate.
Yes, passionate. That was the word
so
I was looking
you,
for,
Keith.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
it's from your heart, brother.
It is. So, the state of Florida has, and the Department of Transportation, has issued a mandate to omit. There's a square in Delray Beach that is painted the
rainbow.
Yeah, the rainbow colors. And they are right now, they are being defiant, saying that they're not going to do it. And they just decided that they're not going to listen. So we wanted to bring this up as a question. And this is from Truth of Life Ministries, that I'm going to read something here in a minute. It's from Truth of Life Ministries. And the question is, God loves you no matter what, but. So here I go. But, okay. Okay, so it reads, over the years, as I've traveled the world preaching and teaching the gospel, I've often been asked the same question. Hold on a second. I've often been asked the same question about sharing God's love. So you're saying that God loves me no matter what I do or have done? My answer is always a resounding and passionate yes. That response often leads to a deeper question. What about someone who claims to be a Christian but is living in sin? Does God still love them, even if they're living like that? Once again, I respond with the same unwavering conviction. Yes. At this point, I often see a puzzled look flash across their face. Sometimes there's even a hint of anger in their eyes as they shake their head in disbelief and say, I just don't agree. And the author writes, I understand. I used to think the same way. Many Christians still do. Some believe that God could possibly love them when they were sinners, but not any longer if they are saints who have sinned. So if that were true, we would be doing a disservice by getting people saved. If they remain, right? We'd be doing a disservice by getting people saved. If they remain unbelievers, at least they are loved by God. But now, as believers, if they mess up, they won't be. I know it sounds crazy, but that is the theology many people believe today. I know preachers who have an amazing amount of love for sinners, but none for Christians who sin. If God commanded his love toward me while I was a sinner, as Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, then why, as his child, would he stop loving me when I did sin? Jesus explained how human love works by saying, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. You will feed them when they are hungry. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Do parents only feed and clothe and protect their children when they are perfect and haven't been disobedient or rebellious? Of course not. If that were the case, the streets would be filled with malnourished and unclothed children. I doubt anyone would say they love their kids more than God loves his, but isn't that what many believe? Many people who describe God's love are actually describing how a sinner loves, not God. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Sinners only love those who love them. How often have you heard someone say, if you will just love God, he will love you? We know that is not what the Bible teaches. We love God because he first loved us, according to 1 John 4:19. Now Jesus says, if you only love those that love you, nothing beneficial will come out of that. God is not a hypocrite. He isn't asking us to love in a way he doesn't. So the truth Jesus is showing us is that God does love those who don't love him. This does not mean God agrees with people living in rebellion and sin, but God knows that his love is the environment they need to be restored and set free from sin. The prodigal's father hugged and kissed his son. He didn't punish or reject him. It was the fault-finding, judgmental elder brother who wanted to see his brother punished. A fellow believer could tell me he plans on robbing a bank, and there is no argument that God loved him before he robbed the bank, while he was robbing the bank, and even after he robbed the bank. And I want you to get that, okay? A fellow believer, somebody who knows Jesus, believes in Jesus, could tell me he plans on robbing a bank, and there is no argument that God loved him before he robbed the bank, while he was robbing the bank, or even after he robbed the bank. Yes, God loved and still loves the Christian bank robber. The area we may disagree about is if this bank robber tells me he loves God. I would have to say, no, you don't. Because people who truly love God do what pleases him. It is the evidence that you know and believe the love God has for you. The issue isn't whether God loves the person sinning. He does. The issue is if the person continuing in sin really loves God. The truth is that God loves us no matter what, but is that the truth in your heart? Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's from Ed and Lori Elliott from Truth of Life Ministries.
And they're online.
You can go to their website, Truth of Life Ministries, and read that all over again. You can find it because they keep all of their, it's called Spiritual Coffee in the Morning. I thought it was a great introduction to really what's going on in the world and in the cultures. People believing that they love God and yet being defiant or, being out of step with God's word.
Right.
John 14:15, Keith. If you love me, you keep my commandments. So
yes.
Love is just not an emotion, but it's actual commitment. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And the word clearly says, if you love the Lord, you will follow his commandments.
Amen.
So we just got to go back to the word of God, right?
Hey, we have to. And speaking of which, in talking about this whole thing, because we're looking at how do we bring the word of God to people whose lifestyles are abhorrent to God, basically, and if we're called to speak to them. But this is true of anyone that's unsaved, if we're bringing the gospel to them. But 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. This is as if you're the one that's going out to somebody with the message of the gospel. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect.
Yes,
and that of course correlates with speaking the truth in love, because we can't ever encounter someone whom God sends us to, or whatever. This is going to be a God-led moment to offer the word of God, the gospel, the hope that we live in, that we want them to have, and that we have to at some point speak the truth, and where the truth especially intersects with their lifestyles.
The gay lifestyle, I think, it teaches tolerance. Mm. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to live by. And through the Holy Spirit, we have God's word. And Amen. Tolerance is completely different from the Holy Spirit.
Well, they interchange tolerance with the word love.
Yes.
Correct.
True love only comes from our Father. So it's, does God tolerate us? I mean, does God love us? So, interchange those words, see what that does in your own spirit. I don't think tolerate is what God does. I think he's very black and white.
No,
I think there's no gray area with God.
Well, tolerate means you leave me the way you find me. and I'll leave you the way I find
right,
you.
And that's what I'm saying, where the gay agenda comes from. That's
they
the,
want to be
the
left,
culture of tolerance.
They want to be left, not to be bothered, to be accepted as they are. Well, and from that standpoint, you know, God, when we come to God, we come as we are. When I was saved 40 years ago, almost 50 years ago, actually, you know, I brought a sinner to God, dirty, broken. And, you know, God began a process of healing and restoring, and that's a great word, restoring. But I've also been in the church as an ordained person to see where the church tolerance becomes allows for compromise. And that is compromise of the Word of God. That's all the way it gets back to that. I've seen that happen again and again. Because God does not into tolerance.
No, and we're gonna find that when you look back in the Old Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, especially in like in Psalms, the word hate is in there. Like in Psalm 5:5-6, it says, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." This passage makes it clear that God hates not only sin, but also the sinners who commit it. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, "Among the things the Lord hates are individuals who sow discord and devise wicked plans." God is so holy. He cannot be near those things that is wicked and vile and sinful. And so that's why he sent his son to be the recompense for that sin.
Amen.
And, you know, when we're talking to the gay community or the transgenders and all of the different things that come into our atmosphere in this day and age, we have to be that light.
Absolutely.
It isn't about whether they understand, because they don't. I mean, if they understood, they wouldn't be doing some of the things that they're doing. But I have to look at myself first. And that is the hardest mirror to look in most of the time, is what have I done? And, you know, I want to also realize that God has put me in a place of being his child and given me wisdom when I ask for it. I don't always act on it. But there is a disconnect with understanding what they seemingly think is love. So that's a hard place to be. And this thing, and I'm going to bring it back to the thing in Del Rey, you know, there's been other things like this, like West Palm Beach, I think. Did they cover theirs over? I think they did.
They did.
Del Rey has theirs, and Boynton, I think, also covered theirs. So this is something that brings it to, I mean, it's on our streets. As we drive down the street, now they're saying it's a safety issue. We're talking a spiritual issue. So which is it? Is it safety? They're saying, you know, that it's going to make
the Florida
people.
Department
of Transportation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I'm hoping that part of this is some people in the Department of Transportation have a knowledge of God and are understanding that, you know, but even if it comes down through the fact that it's just them saying it's a safety issue, I'm thankful for that, because we need to bring light to the fact that this is not a good.
Yeah, it's not.
Well, God is moving. God is moving through bringing the state to paint over all of them throughout all the towns in Florida. So that is the movement of God.
There's been 6 cities that FDOT has actually ordered to remove.
Right.
Some who are defiant of that order, which
Rebellion.
Is Delray Beach, your
right.
hometown,
Rebellion.
Keith. But Key West, you know, Key West has a significant gay population.
Right.
And they also received a warning to remove. And I don't know if they're going to comply as well. So
this has been there since 2021. I didn't have any clue that it was even there. So
yeah, Keith ministers at that.
I
corner,
do.
Right?
I
but
do.
Yeah, because I don't know Delray as
That's
much either.
Where the street preacher shows
I get,
up.
I get some strange looks over there.
I would imagine.
But they
I
need the imagine. Love of the Lord that leads us to repentance. You guys, all of us in here, have felt the love of God, and it just wrecks you. It just wrecks
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
They need that love, you know?
And it's not about judgment. You know, this is the thing that when I've had occasion to share Christ with people that have what I'll call ungodly lifestyle, and they will, their comeback is, well, you know, you're just judging me. That's all. You shouldn't be judging me. Doesn't the scripture say not to judge? You know, and it, you know, there is a thing about judge not, lest ye yourself be judged. However, where I'm coming from, again, it's the desire to see restoration in a life that's lost to God.
That's the end.
That's my goal.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And nor is it, I don't hate you.
No.
Like I've said before on the air, and I think it's worth repeating, as a Christian, if I bring Christ to you and you hear what I'm saying is against your lifestyle, you're going to come back at me. Mostly you're going to say, that's hate speech. And I will tell you, look, if I hated you, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you, because I know what's going to happen to your spirit if you die in your sin.
You know, David, that's one of the biggest issues that they, you know, some of them might not believe that hell is real. And if God, and what I've heard from people in response is, God, if God loves me, he's not going to condemn me to hell and not to be in a burning fire.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
They don't believe that there's actual condemnation for their actions.
You know, the whole thing, we can talk about this after the break that's coming up, but this isn't new.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
This is not new. No.
So maybe we can talk about some of those other things after the break and how this got to where it is.
I think let's do go ahead and take that break and then reform a little bit.
There you go.
There you go. What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And welcome back to A Biblical Response. Before we get back into our topic, I have to say from time to time, you know, we encourage calls. And by the way, I'm going to talk about how you can reach us if you want to get us with us on the air to either make a comment or ask a question. That's 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Another thing is, because we know listeners don't start with us in the very beginning and go through the whole program to the end,
right.
You may have picked us up after 5 minutes and heard something that disturbs you. So if you want to call in, if you're able to ask us about that so we can offer a corrective comment, we'd be happy to do that. But if you're not able to, you can hear the entire program by going to our website, WCNO.com, and on the home page, on the very top, in an oval-shaped blue button, there's three of those, but one is called Archives /On Demand. And you can go in there and pick the day and the time, and the program will pop up, A Biblical Response. You can hear the entire program in its context and see what you missed, and maybe you'll hear something that will deflate your concern. But at any rate, that's offered to you. Or again, you can call us at 772-221-1100 while we're on the air today. All right.
Yeah.
Back to Stephanie.
Okay. Well, when I was doing some research last night, I had something come up from CBS News. This was in 2024 that it was reporting this. And I was saying that this has been around forever. And I'm only going back to 1969, but I know this has been a problem even in the scriptures. There was, you know, Lot and all of these different stories that talk about sexual sin. And but here in the U.S., I mean, it was against the law. It was a crime to masquerade as a member of the opposite sex in New York City in 1969.
Wow.
I know. And so, but in that year, there was a police raid on an inn, on Stonewall Inn, that sparked the protests. And those happened for a couple of weeks. But then a year later is when they commemorated it and started the Gay Pride movement, which was the anniversary was the uprising of the parades and the celebrating of the Stonewall. It's called the Stonewall Uprising. You know, and so those culture wars seemingly have like exploded mm-hmm. in the 60s and the 70s. And then, of course, in the 1980s, we had the AIDS, which actually unified that culture. And you know, they began to demand action on mm-hmm. on fixing the AIDS epidemic and whatever. And so, but then in 1990, the visibility came to the corporations. So the corporations then jumped on board. So we're seeing it just become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger through the years. And then, of course, in 1999, Bill Clinton declared June the Pride Month. And in 2000,
that came from Bill Clinton.
It did. And then in 2015, the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage. And
progression
community now. Oh. Well, there is a community now that is going back and trying to turn that over. That came from that woman that was I can't remember her name. I have it here somewhere in my notes, but
yeah,
they had asked for her to sign the gay marriage or the certificate, and she wouldn't do it. And that became, she was in jail for 6 days for that.
There's a couple of people in the court cases who don't want to like make a cake.
Yeah,
you
that
know,
would
be yes. Okay. Yes. I think that's there's a clerk in Kentucky you're talking
yeah.
about.
Those,
well,
those
one
all
of those cases was already solved.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Was already not solved, but yeah. What's the word?
Resolved.
Resolved. Thank yeah. you. That's the word I'm looking for. Resolved.
Yeah. So the woman that signed this, it was 2015, Obergefell versus Hodges.
Mm-hmm.
And it legalized same-sex marriage nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
The possibility of its reversal has reemerged in the public discourse. So she is touting that there was emotional stress, but they're saying there's emotional stress with no tangible damages beyond hurt feelings. So we know that it's more than that. We know that it's not just feelings. There is a spiritual aspect going on here. And, you know, if they overturned it, it would go back to the states.
Mm-hmm.
So just like Roe v. Wade, it would mm-hmm. be that kind of a court case.
She went to jail for 6 days.
She did, yes.
For not signing the marriage certificate.
Well, she did sign
the
it,
license.
But then she asked to have her name removed.
Oh.
So she did not want her name associated with a marriage that was between the same sex.
Which goes against the word of God.
That's what, you know, that's why she was,
right.
That's why she was going...
Right.
Let's take it to 2025
yeah.
because I don't know if a lot of people in this area know, but there is what is called a Lucha Libre drag show being held on September 12th in Palm City, Florida. We are in Palm City. The studio is located in Palm City. This is a small town on the Treasure Coast. And Stephanie talked about how things began even before 1969,
oh, yeah.
I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the enemy who's continuing to
too.
Work.
Yeah.
But then now you have these drag shows, which is coming to Martin County, September 12th, Lucha Libre drag show. Everybody Google it. I'm looking at this ad, and it's at the Palm City Civic Organization on September 12th. They are going after our kids now. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, well, that's the...
And it's been out there.
That's the whole... slippery slope that we've been on for a very, very, very long time. And I go back to this a lot because I deal with the abortion industry, but and the abortion, you know, ministry. But if we don't underscore the fact that life is precious, then all life is a moot point. And so that is, you know, even though it was 1973, you can see the time frame, 1969 to 1973, when Roe v. Wade came into to play. And from there, I mean, we have just seen the degradation and the boldness of this particular sin becomes so rampant. I will give some a little bit of good news. The Southern Baptist Convention called for Obergefell's reversal at its June 2025 meeting. And in May of 2025, the Gallup poll, which is, you know, that's across the nation, reveals a 14-point drop in, it calls Republican support, but I would go to say that people are starting to stand up against this. And it says that 14-point drop for support for same-sex marriages since 2022. So that's good news that people are actually making a point to stand up. But I think it's because it's affecting them. When something affects you, maybe your children or maybe your grandchildren, you know, you start to stand up and, well, that doesn't affect me. That's in their bedroom. That's in their house. That's in their, and I understand that. I get that. And freedom comes with a lot of different annotations, because my freedom, but when you go back to the Constitution and the Bible, that's what this nation was founded on. So here we go again with the Constitution, right? You go back and you have to start. Where did you start from? Well, if you don't start from the right beginnings, then you're going to end up really wrong. And it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much.
No.
It doesn't take much to take that wrong turn. We can see in our recent history, look at Roe v. Wade, right? Supreme Court, who was supposed to be constitutionally focused, and then later on allowing for gay marriage, you know, kind of overruling that. And these are all against God's plan.
We keep talking about the deception from the enemy, from the devil. And we've had a couple of programs trying to make aware that it's a real deception, and people in a community might think that they're being saved and that God loves them. God does love them, but their eternal destination might not be what they suppose that it is or what they expect it to be. So, and if you go by the word of God in the book of Romans, chapter 7, chapter 8, it talks about the flesh, and it talks about the desires of the flesh. And if you are of the flesh, which is, you know, which is what this is, what this culture is doing, it's about the flesh, and it's not about the Spirit of God. And that's where they have to start to really come to understand in their heart that they're going against God, and they're not going with God. And it shows us in certain areas. I mean, you go to Leviticus 18, where it speaks about homosexual, right? You can't be with another man, okay? And that's by the law. So the law is given by God. So if you're living by the law, even that is telling you that you can't do it. Once you live by the Spirit, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, he resolved us of any debt that we might have had because of our sin. So we're free and clear.
And you know what's so beautiful is that there is law, and that tells us that we should be involved with that because God gave law, but we can go all the way back to the garden. I mean, there's law, but in creation, it shows that it, that this is the right way to go.
That was in Genesis chapter 2, right?
Yes.
In Genesis chapter 2, God said man should not be alone.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He took the bone. Right. He took the bone from man for woman. Right. And what did God say? God said, Adam, you need a helper. Right. That's what the Bible says. Man needs a helper.
Yeah, it was the only thing he said he needed. That was the only thing he created that needed a helper.
Right?
All right, you guys.
Right? but that's what it says in Genesis chapter 2. Go and see. God, those were God's words. Adam needs a helper. And man needs a helper, right?
You know, one of the problems we're facing today as believers in our role as bringing Christ to the world around us is that we've talked about, I'm not going to go into deep detail on progressive Christianity, or as really it's just a pagan religion, it's not Christianity, but in the last, I'm going to say 40 years, I'm just going to throw that out, but I think it's pretty accurate. In the last 40 years, as that progressive mindset has entered more deeply into the church, most often through the seminaries, and I was in seminary at that time when it was really coming in heavy, and it was coming in through, it was the seminary staff, the teachers, there were some were clergy, some were lay people, but they'd all been sort of embraced this. The leaders of the church had embraced this for the most part. And so the seminaries, not all of them, of course, but I'm speaking generically now, and through my experience, began teaching liberal progressive theology, okay? And the leaders then that were being trained and sent out, many of whom did not go to seminary being saved. I was one of, there's about four of us that had gotten saved before seminary. And I have to believe we became kind of a community within a community, in part for protection, you know, and to pray together, because we were trying to navigate these heavy storm-tossed waters of a seminary life that was being invaded by demonic attitudes from the world. So when I put a lot of thought into this and a lot of prayer into it, but knowing some of the people that came through when I was there who were not saved and were being, had come out of liberal progressive churches into a liberal progressive seminary. Mm-hmm. What do you get when they graduate? You get leaders who have liberal progressive tendencies. And with that comes, instead of receiving the Word of God as the Word of God and it being authoritative, you're taught to doubt. I'm seriously. Believe me, this, you haven't heard this before. It's absolutely true. You're taught to doubt the Word of God and to not read it with the idea that it's a revealed Word of God, but to question whether it has any validity at all or not. And in the course of the 3 years that I was in seminaries, the early 1980s, the instructors would always honor, we were all supposed to read and worship, read the Word of God. And there were people that would literally change the words. For instance, male pronouns. Mm-hmm. They would take out the male pronouns and do the generic stuff.
What year was that?
That was 1982 to 85.
Okay,
but it was happening before then.
Oh yeah.
The point being is that that's not an isolated incident. That's one of many examples of mainline Christianity, for the most part, allowing the culture to teach the church, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, mm-hmm. in Scripture, throughout Old and New Testament, what is one of the recurring commands from God is, do not let anything interrupt or cover over my word. Let nothing divert you from the truth.
Well, 2 weeks ago and last week, we talked about Texas State Representative James Tallarico.
Right.
Remember, who was on the Joe Rogan podcast?
Very good, Ann.
I said it right. Keith would always be like, Ann, you're pronouncing
it. You got a gold star for that.
Tallarico. I did it right. I looked at Keith. I'm like, I deserve an apple from the teacher.
Terrific.
But when Joe Rogan would be like, when Joe Rogan would go and, you know, because he talked about Leviticus, how man is not supposed to sleep with their own kind. And Joe Rogan would be like, well, it says it right in the Bible. And he called the Bible, some of the Bible stories, euphemisms.
Right.
And when they don't adhere to the Word of God, then that's in itself just a big red flag.
Well, it is a red flag when someone will go to the Word of God and say what's being said there is a euphemism or a metaphor.
Yes.
which means it may or may not be true. That gets back to what I was saying earlier, the whole biblical criticism mindset that had entered into mainline seminaries maybe even 50 years ago. I don't know exactly when it started, but has created, and of course these leaders teach other people in their congregations. Mm-hmm. What are they passing on? So it's not a surprise that we face this kind of challenge when we're bringing the Word of God out there. And God, of course, knows that. It's why He calls us to do it. But again, and I think we also have to say we're a few seconds away from a break, but what we have to be aware of is we are not bringing condemnation to people when we bring the Word of God to them. This is what the devil tells them we're bringing. Keep in mind, what we are bringing is conviction. We pray that the Word of God that is given to us to share with whomever we are sent, either an individual or a body of people, that they will become convicted of their sin, as we were, right?
Well, look at the woman at the well when Jesus approached the Samaritan woman at the well.
Yeah.
And then the woman who was caught in adultery. He did not, you know, condemn them, but he spoke very, very in love. But yes, he pointed out their sin. That's what right. we're doing, in love.
Yes.
Because like Keith said, even if they don't believe in hell, but they will ultimately end up in hell. And by that time, it's separation from God. It's too late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why we feel such an urging in our spirit to talk about this. Because we don't want anybody to go to hell.
We don't.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Let's go to a break, though. We can do that.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
You gave me love when nobody gave me a prayer. Jesus, a prayer.
And welcome back to a Biblical Response and the last portion of our program for today. And we were, I did want to mention, we had a call from a listener who had said concerning the Delray Beach gay pride colored crosswalk issue that we started with, he had understood that that was going to be removed in December. Now that... Okay, that's what they had heard. I don't know. I'm just mentioning it because they'd called, but I don't have a reference. I don't have a news article or anything to tie with that.
Well, I thought that the date was supposed to be, the DOT gave them a date in September to it removed by.
They did.
And then that's where the rebellion came in, that they weren't going to do it by that time.
Well, I don't know where this was heard. I'm just passing it on.
Maybe,
you know, it might... like to have a citation of some kind of
maybe it
reference.
Came out last night or this morning or something.
Could be fairly recent, yeah. You know. So it might be, and that'd be great if they...
It says, as required by state law, if the pavement markings are not removed by September 3rd, 2025, the Florida Department of Transportation will remove them by any appropriate method necessary without further notice. The FDOT wrote in its letter to the city officials, you are further notified that if the markings are removed by the department, all costs associated with the removal will be assessed against City of Delray.
So September 3rd, like Stephanie said.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they will be, Delray officials are standing firm, but despite threats of funding cuts for noncompliance. So
we got to watch this story to see what eventually happens, because other cities have caved in.
Yes.
But Delray seems like they're holding up, but who knows what happens. If they cut their funding, maybe they'll back off.
Well, that's what they have in the process, is that they will get their funding cut.
Yeah.
So
they don't want that
action
to
taken.
No, they don't.
But West Palm Beach, they removed their rainbow crosswalk, but they relocated it to a public park.
That's what I was reading. I could not find that.
Why?
So did you? Yeah, they moved it like two blocks north
to a public park.
To a public
park. I don't know what. I guess it's not.
It's not on the road,
so it's not deterring or a distraction. So now it's in a park.
That's what I was trying
Sneaky.
To find that. Anne, thank you.
Sneaky.
Could not find it.
No, there's and I just
Sneaky.
Just got this, but some folks may be saying, "What's the big deal?" And, you know, I can hear that coming. What is the big deal if you have this or you have that?
Hmm.
Well, the big deal is that this is idolatry. This is as the same thing as, you know, if you read in the scriptures, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, meaning no other idols. And throughout Israel's history, if you go back through the Old Testament again and again, you're seeing Israel. Yeah, they'd love God for a while. Time would go on. They'd forget about God. They'd start worshiping foreign gods, which are basically demonic entities that took on certain names. They would have made idols out of whatever, silver, gold, mortar, whatever, and they'd have them in their homes and they'd pray to them. And what is an idol but a representation of one's belief system? And that's why God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and meaning no other representations of theologies and ideologies that replace your worship of me. So when you see, first of all, we also have to say that the rainbow belongs to Noah and the Noahic covenant that God made with, right? The rainbow came at the end of all the floods and the waters receded and when Noah and his family and all the animals got out of the ark. So God made a covenant, and the rainbow in the sky was a sign of that. So the other thing is stealing the rainbow, so they use it for their own purposes, and to turn it into...
Which is a mockery.
Which is a mockery of God's promise to not just Noah, but to all that followed him. And that means us today. So that this is not just paint on pavement. It lifts up a godless ideology that people worship, whether they believe it or not. It is idolatrous. And that's the reason why we are being called today to point this out.
Genesis 9:13, God says, I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. This is God's sign, and they're, like Keith said, they're making a mockery of the rainbow, which is a sign of the covenant with Noah and all living creatures, promising never to destroy the earth with a flood again. So,
and what's the most obvious idol that we have that we carry with us every single day, all of us do, is ourselves. We idolize ourselves, and we want what we want above God, and it comes back to self-idolization every single
good
time.
Point. Good point.
And that's in the church, that's out of the church, that's my daily struggle, is what do I want above what anybody else wants, let alone what God wants. And that's a, I mean, that's,
that's where we started,
vulnerable here, guys. But it's true.
That's where we started.
I have to look in the mirror every single thought. Yeah, that's where we started. That's it. And I fail all the time. I fail and have to go back to the foot of the cross. You know, that's just like Peter, you were talking about the woman at the well. And Peter, when he said, Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. I mean, we're here right there in the middle of you know, Jesus's final days, minutes on earth. And there's Peter saying, God, I will go with you to even unto death. I will do it, you know. And he said, the enemy has, he wants to sift you like wheat. But what, and Peter's like, I would have been like, well, what'd you say? You know, and God did tell her, Jesus did tell him, he said,
I prayed for you.
And that's what he is doing for us.
That his faith may not fail.
That his faith may not fail.
And Jesus prayed for us.
Yes, but what did he say after that? He said, after that, he said, when you are not your own, for you were bought by a price. Wait a minute, I've got the wrong verse up there. Okay, hang on just a second here. Go back to... pull that back up. So it says, and when you have turned again, which meant he would fail. And he did. He denied Christ three times. And when you have turned, so that means he's going to turn back to him. He told him that, prophesied that to him right
there.
Feed
the lambs.
Strengthen your brothers.
Yeah.
Strengthen your brothers. And that means that you will testify to the faithfulness of Christ. You will testify to the faithfulness of the cross.
Look at somebody as strong as apostle as Peter, who basically was such a figure in the New Testament, and he failed, but the Lord received him. You know what I mean? After he repented, right?
Restored.
We have to repent and be restored.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
can you imagine in that moment? Oof.
I know.
In that moment of denial. Well, and we deny Christ when we sin. That's what it is.
Yeah.
We are denying the gospel.
Yeah.
In my NIV, and I'm, Bible for Men.
Yes.
And we were talking about grace. We were talking about grace over tolerance before.
Yeah.
And it says, until we believe that God is truly for us, not against us, we will keep running and hiding, Christians included. For this reason, grace forms the foundation for all significant spiritual growth.
What passage is that, Keith?
This is grace or tolerance. It's in my...
it's notes.
It's just notes. Commentary.
I'm like, what Bible verse is that?
Yeah, it's commentary.
I want that Bible verse.
Yeah. I was kind of confused.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
This is by John Burke.
Okay.
And grace is a beautiful thing, is
Romans.
It not?
Yes.
I mean, it truly is. Now, we can go really far on that and go put the pendulum way, way out there. But... it does.
Well,
God's grace.
You know,
covers.
God's grace, right? God covers us. Grace covers us, surrounds us, teaches us,
pulls us back in,
right? And you
convicts
know,
us.
Convicts us. It, we learn from God's grace,
but it's not
as we walk.
It's not an
in
open
Jesus.
No
open way to keep sinning.
Should we sin that grace may abound?
No,
exactly.
But
God forbid.
That's what Book of Romans is, right?
That's
it
Paul.
Tells us, right? It's not there to sin.
No.
It's there to live by the love of God.
Yeah. It goes back to if we love the Lord, we will keep his commandments.
That is our relationship
with
him. That's right.
And you could tell if somebody really loves the Lord. Are they living for the Lord and, you know, like not doing things that we used to do before? I used to love secular music. I'm not saying that, you know, like everybody has to do that, but my desires and interests started to change. You know what I mean? Like,
right. by the Holy Spirit.
Look at transformation, you know what I mean? Yeah. From drugs and alcohol whatnot.
Right.
If you love the Lord,
she's
you
talking about me.
I was going to say, she's pointing to Keith over here.
No, she's talking about me.
Sorry. But I have my own.
It doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol.
No.
I mean, from anything.
You know,
talk about this on the radio many times.
And I said that because Keith has put that on the air before.
I have.
Yeah.
We got a few minutes yet before we have to close. And in all of our conversation today, and, you know, I hope the listeners who stuck with us, even those that had to go, realize that we're moving in the light of God's love, and we're being driven by that love to an out of concern, to point out what God wants us to say, speaking the truth in love concerning the particular issues we talked about today and the whole gay pride thing and the LGBTQ, all of that pertains to that. And we're doing it because God's called us to express his love and speak his truth. And now I know we have listeners that are believing in that as well and maybe a little anxious having heard all of this. So I want to refer you to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, because Paul is speaking to his people who have received the same charge we have today, who are facing living in a very dangerous world that hates Christianity and will seek to persecute it and kill it wherever it can. And what does he say to those that follow him is this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Amen.
Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as we bring the truth to the people who need to hear it, we want them to be able to recognize that that pertains to them as well.
I want people to just feel the love of God through this, you know, that the Spirit is moving from these mics to the homes, to the cars, and feel the love of God, because we are not trying to condemn, but Holy Spirit, you know, do your work, convict.
Amen.
In the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, we had Lazarus and we had the rich man, and the rich man died and went to hell, and Lazarus went to heaven. And Lazarus said in Luke chapter 16, he says, then I beg you, Father, this is the rich man who was in hell at the time.
Yeah, I remember
and
got this.
Right. Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And there's someone from the dead was actually Jesus, and they still don't believe. But what does he say? He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. And that was Jesus, right? They will not be convinced. So we're out there, and what did Jesus say? Go and share the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ to all the world.
Can we do a quick prayer?
We have a minute.
Yeah, I think we need to
pray. Let's do that. Why don't you lead us in prayer?
Jesus, Lord, I just pray for every listener,
Jesus,
Lord God, and anybody, Lord God, who is in sin, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that they would feel the overwhelming love of God that will draw them to repentance, Lord Jesus. Like the woman who committed adultery and there were no more accusers left. And he said, no, I don't accuse you anymore. Just turn and you will be restored. Lord Jesus, all of us, we may sin every day. But Lord, we pray that we will not live in condemnation or shame, but turn to you, Lord Jesus, so you could restore us. When we say, Lord, we are sorry for what we've done, but we turn to you and we ask that you restore us. Do that to the people, Lord God, who don't even know you. Will you encounter them with your love so that your love will cause them to kindness and repentance, Lord Jesus? We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, Keith, for being with us today. And thank you, listeners, for trekking along with us. And we'll be back next week, same time, literally same station.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.